It's time for Trackside Tonight with Randy Dyke, Joe Linebarrier, and Billy Osberg. Trackside Tonight is brought to you by Daytona Dodge and Chrysler, DeLand Motorsports, Mopar Speed Shop, Volusia Speedway Park, and by Valvoline. To get in the action, call 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. Now here's Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Welcome to Trackside Tonight. I'm Randy Dye.
I'm Joe Dirt.
I'm Billy the Kid.
Well, we are we're glad to be here with you tonight and take your phone calls. Again, we remind you of the numbers. 800-927-0033, star 1150 on your AT&T wireless cell phone. It would be a free call. Lots to talk about. You know, I know last week we kind of sat around and talked and lamented over our all of our stories as it relates to USA International Speedway at Lakeland and the last race and all of the activities, Joe, that surrounded that. And then yet there was another chapter this past weekend in the USA International Speedway saga. And I think this one may be a bit more sad in that it's the track was now being taken apart piece by piece and sold at auction. And while I think there's some good news that will come out of it, it's still that's just tough to take.
Well, the dismantling process has, in fact, begun, but it's rough to take, Randy, but, I mean, we knew it was coming, but I think the good part is some of the racetrack lives on. It may sound a little, I don't know, kind of hokey there, but it does. I mean, the
transplants. Lives on.
Exactly. I mean, Robert Hart, of course, had some interest in some of the equipment. World Racing Group actually sent a representative to look at perhaps some of the equipment there. A good friend of mine with High Tech Services did our PA and their PA, Phil Dittler. He wanted to get his PA system back, but... I guess it went for a little bit more than he was willing to get it back for. So, but nonetheless, the place will still live on, kind of scattered out, though.
Well, I know that New Smyrna Speedway, Robert Hart bought what really is a first-class fencing arrangement around the USA International Speedway to bring to
3 miles.
Yeah, three miles
of fence. Okay.
Is it really?
Yeah.
To bring to New Smyrna Speedway, and he also bought the. I think it's the Moscow. Yeah, lighting system.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was a steal.
Yeah, from what I understand, it was a steal.
We've got some inside info on what some of these things went for. The actual press boxes, the VIP suites throughout the entire grandstand, what was it, $3,800, Bill?
$4,500.
$4,500 still. That's amazing.
Eight suites, plug them in, go.
You've got to haul them, you've got to dismantle them, and that's going to cost you some money, but nonetheless.
10 days to get them out.
Yeah, that's all modular stuff.
Where'd that go?
Not sure.
Grandstands, 91 grand.
The grandstands went to South Georgia Motorsports Park, I believe.
Yep, 91,000. Of course, he's got the
20 rows high, 800 feet long.
He's got the drag strip there, and up in Adel, Georgia, and they could put that to good use.
They sold at the beginning. They sold all the NASCAR stuff. You know, all the memorabilia they had, the Alan Kulwicki autograph posters and everything, and they were selling that stuff by the table loads, is what I was told. And then they went around with selling the inside barriers, the walls, and I heard, I know Nerone went after the flag stand. I heard he got it. I heard everybody was cheering for him.
Well, he said that, he told me
he collects them.
A couple weeks ago that he is a collector of flag stands from closed speedways. And I don't think it's just in general closed speedways, but Nerone has a very personal interest, passionate interest in the USA International Speedway. And I think unless it just was absolutely absurd, I think he was going to end up with that flag stand. I
mean, they said that there was one guy, and they were telling me there was one guy that told everybody or was interested in the flag stand, so everybody was cheering for him when he got it.
Well, it's good that he did. I mean, for some people, it's a bigger deal than I don't know if I have as much of a special place for the USA International Speedway. It's just as much as a fondness, a place that I liked. I mean, I don't think I ever went to the USA International Speedway that I just didn't have a good time in whatever role it was. Joe, when we did the TV,
I know you enjoyed that.
I had a good time.
Yeah,
that was a tough time because it was a time when I wasn't physically allowed to race, so it was.
But I think that gave you an opportunity to see the other side of it and be a part of that.
Yeah,
all of these experiences, you know, that's what makes you up, you know, what you've been able to experience at that racetrack.
Well, it was fun doing that with you. And then, you know, I've been a fan there when I just as a fan, no other reason, bought a ticket, went up, sat down in the tower and watched the races. And then, of course, I've been a competitor there, and at every level, I feel like I was treated very, very well. You know, extraordinary by all the people. They welcomed you. They thanked you for being there. It was a great experience. I loved the racetrack. The facility was top notch. The restrooms were clean. The food was good. The program was on time. The officials that ran the show were good. We were, you know, I guess on a couple occasions we were the premier event, and other occasions we were the support event for the Hooters. I was there as a support to a Hooters event more than once, and you know, always a good experience. Just really enjoyed it. So I mean, I don't have this sentimental feeling for Lakeland, but I had a good feeling because it was always a good experience for me.
Likewise for me too. You know, every time I went there, we talked about this. You know, every time I was made to feel so welcome, and it gave me, you know, some of the first and only TV deals that I've done, and it was really neat to be a part of that. And you know, they'll come in the future, but that's what I will carry with me. Some of the production experiences that I had there, really great.
You know, shifting gears. Sorry, Billy.
I was just going to say, talking to a well-known gentleman that was there on Saturday, that's well-known around the racing community. He said, if you were in the racetrack market, he said, if you weren't there Saturday, you missed out on building yourself a well of a.
Yeah. I'll bet.
Yeah.
Of a racetrack, I'll bet.
The
with everything that went, you know, your complex could have been with everything that was there.
Sure.
Well, the other thing about it is, like you said, you know, the you know, fixing up or building your own facility, that place had nothing but first class stuff.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, they had either new or the absolute best maintained equipment from a track standpoint of any you could find.
Yeah.
There was nothing there used up or old. You know, it was always fresh, and that was a. So I imagine. I mean, it sounds like that most of the stuff was pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, he said they sold all the computer systems, all the radios, everything. He said that's what he said. He said if you wanted to build a racing facility or you had a racetrack that needed to be upgraded and you weren't there, you missed it. So
did those safety trucks the place?
Sold all that stuff.
Well, we could have used
the broom, the sweeper,
buggy. Sold the jet dryer.
Wow.
The, you know, you're talking about TV, Joe, and your TV experience. I watched the Knoxville Nationals the other night.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously it was a good show. You know, no argument.
But you know what they're going through, and you know what's going on up in that tower.
I do, and I'm getting ready to say, and I know it's going to probably come off a little self-serving, so let me apologize in advance. However, that's the premier. You can argue all you want, but I don't think anybody could make a legitimate argument that there is any bigger dirt track event than the Knoxville Nationals. I mean, I just don't
see. In sprint cars, that's it.
There is none. Okay, yeah, that's the deal. And from a television perspective, from what you expect and the kind of reporting that you expect, the kind of personal interest stories that you expect, even the interviews that they did with some of the competitors, I got to tell you, I thought the television package, the television reporting was weak at best.
What network was it on?
It was on.
Was it True or are they on? It wasn't Speed, was it?
Yeah, it was on
it was
Speed.
Speed. Okay,
yeah,
that was Speed. Part of the World of Outlaws. You're right. Okay.
Right, it was on Speed, but it was still.
It's not a World of Outlaws show.
Right.
It's not a World Outlaws show. It's true.
It's
not,
it's
right. But the people doing the broadcast, it just wasn't.
Who was it? Was it Brad Doty?
Well, Doty I like.
Of course.
Okay. I mean,
was it Bobby Gerald? This is Gary Gerald's son, and he's usually pretty good.
Well,
if you heard him, you'd have been impressed.
I'm just going to say I was not impressed. I mean, I like Doty. I enjoyed Doty. Doty used to race where I grew up. Okay, so I like him and all
good
the effort to him.
Good great. Color man.
Well, he understands.
Yes, he does. Like you at Lakeland when you did that. mean, you were where those drivers were, and that's why I thought you were so valuable in that. But who was doing the trackside stuff?
Different people who had, I mean, I think if, with all, no, I'm not going to say, well, you always kid me.
Don't do it. Come on.
I'm just going to say, no, I don't think they deserve it. So it would appear it was their first attempt.
Was it Shane Andrews? Guy with no hair.
It's a, no.
Guy with no hair. It looks like he's from up there in New York.
Another girl, and nobody, I mean, it's like, do you realize this is a sprint car? Do you realize this is the Knoxville National? Do
Here's
you realize the,
thing.
The people you're talking to?
Here's the thing, Randy. When we did the production at Lakeland, that's called simply live to tape. Anybody
right.
that's been into it, you know, you
right.
get one shot. That's what it is, okay? It's live to tape. It's not airing live, but it's live to tape. We produced it as it was live.
Right.
This was live. Okay, so it was no different than what you and I did. So the main key here to consider is you don't get another chance.
But I don't think the competency was there. I think the event deserved better broadcast talent. Maybe that's my point.
I understand.
You know, I think the event could have been far more interesting than it was what was lacking and what's disturbing to me about it is not. Put it in the box of the Knoxville Nationals. What's disturbing to me is I think there are far more dirt track shows that have an opportunity and
yeah.
should be put on television.
Absolutely.
And should be done so with high quality people.
Indeed.
You know, and what you're going to have, somebody out there is going to say, well, no, we're not going to sponsor the dirt track deal, or no, we're not going to give them primetime TV, or no, we're not going to do it live because. You know, nobody watches. Well, nobody watches because you don't devote the talent
right.
to the event.
They'll do it if you pay for it.
Right.
You take it
yeah.
to Sunshine, you take it to Speed, you take it anywhere. They'll do it if you got the money to put it on the air. It's
right.
that simple.
My point is that if you're going to put that deal on there, you should put the best. And I'm not saying
agreed.
That it's not you or me.
I agree.
There's other people out there. But some. Go ahead, Billy.
They should put me.
Well, okay, Billy. All right. There's other people who should be out there because I hate to see it be done in kind of a rookie classification. All right, a rookie environment, and what happens if you got people who aren't accustomed to doing that deal, the whole thing looks bad.
Yeah, you're right.
It comes off amateurish.
Of course.
And these guys, I mean, my goodness, Kinzer won this deal 12 times, I believe, the Knoxville Nationals.
This is an opportunity for a broadcaster like no other, okay,
right.
like myself. I would cherish this. I would relish this opportunity. You guys get up there and, you know, they're mush mouth. They don't know what they're saying, whatever.
They have a world-class show in front of them,
yeah.
right, with,
yeah.
with like a state-class people running it. You know,
at best.
Not
yeah.
running it as far as doing yeah. the TV deal. But
right.
Because I know running it is run a whole lot different. You know,
well, the event itself was good.
This guy might could help us.
Lenny's on line one. Lenny.
He was out there the whole week.
You were in Iowa.
Yep.
Did you see some of the trackside talent? If you did, who was it?
Trackside talent?
Meaning the TV.
While you were sitting in the grandstand, they were down there interviewing people.
No, not paying attention to that stuff, but, you know, it could have been better. You know, typical tape delay stuff. If you ask me, they told us from the get go that they told us from the get go about 9:20 that they were going on the air live at 9:00,
okay.
and that everything would be tape delayed an hour.
Okay.
When the races were over, we could get back to the hotel room and finish watching it. So.
Oh, okay.
Did you get back to the motel room and finish watching it?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, I guess my point is I watched it.
And, well, you know who won, so.
I think, and Billy said it a few minutes ago, it's a world-class event unto itself, and it got second- or third-class media coverage, and not up to the caliber of the event. And what's more concerning to me is a much bigger picture than just the event. It's that by not giving it its just due with the broadcast team, makes sure that you're not going to expand the number of dirt track programs on television.
Randy,
and I think that's a problem.
I've thought for years that I was the only one that felt this way. When I would bring up something like this, people would look at me like, what do you mean? You know, but I'll tell you, I mean, you get this opportunity on television and you look at World Racing Group. I work for them for the most part, and I love my position with World Racing Group at Volusia Speedway Park. But you look at some of the people they have in place at some of the shows on television. Rick Eshelman, prime example. PA announcer only. Does no TV with the World
Makes
Racing
no
Group.
Makes no sense.
None whatsoever.
Yeah, as good as they get.
And I'll just leave it there.
Yeah.
I will say this. You know, Speed put the racetrack on notice that we could be running a few minutes late. We all know that the truck race was running on schedule. I actually made a phone call to find out what we were doing, why we were waiting while they were still interviewing the winner of the truck race. So we actually rolled into a couple minutes late as far as going live. I guess it started live on TV. I'm not sure, but we did wait an extra 5 to 7 minutes just to go live on the TV with this deal.
But you know,
we were waiting on, and I know it's NASCAR, but we were waiting on NASCAR.
That's normal production,
Lenny. Yeah, let me say this. I'm not criticizing the program. I'm not criticizing the racing program. The fact of the matter is, I think the racing program was great. What I'm criticizing is the caliber and the talent that was designated and given to the broadcast effort. The program is the program, and every, you know, you guys have to adjust because there's something else that's going on ahead of it. If it runs over, you're going to have to go a little bit behind. That's all well and good. I'm talking about when they started broadcasting the event. Not that it was delayed, but the content of what the broadcasters had to say was weak. Albeit, but Brad Doty does a good job. I mean, he could do a good job doing a big wheel race. I mean, he knows what he's doing, and he does a good job. The rest of it was terrible.
Yes, it definitely was not Joe Linebarrier caliber. I can tell you that.
Well, that's, you know what, we laugh about that, but that's the truth.
It is. Yeah. It absolutely is. I mean, there's a difference, and I believe the guy's name is Tony. It starts with a B. He is the track announcer at Knoxville for their weekly Saturday night show, and Speed brought him on to do the pit side interviews.
Okay.
And they did run all this stuff live through the PA while they were doing it in between commercials.
Right.
But it just sitting there listening to it, it's just. Even at the racetrack, it's not, you know, it just doesn't have that feel to it. That, gotcha. Hey, I really know what I'm doing here, but I'm not real sure.
Well, the other part of that deal is that, you know, at the end of that program, the premier sprint car event anywhere all year long. You know what you want the TV audience to end up with is that, man, I don't ever want to miss another dirt track program on television. I may
That's
not
right.
be able to get to every one of them live, but I want to make sure I see them when they're on TV. And that one, I tell you, at the end of it, you go, well, if I see the next one, fine. If I don't, fine.
Right. Yep.
Right. Guys, I'm calling in. I've talked to Billy. In case y'all don't know, Terry McCarl puts on the Front Row Challenge on Monday night, and he does the Ultimate Challenge, one night stand for $30,000. They take the wings off those sprint cars, and they run them there in Oskaloosa on Tuesday night. First time I'd ever seen this show with no wings on the cars. Fellas, we got to have some of that in Florida somewhere. That was by far the best racing all of the whole time I was there.
You know, I grew up in northwestern Pennsylvania. Sprint cars didn't have wings when I grew up. Sprint cars were absolutely wingless, and when the wings started coming around, there were a lot of guys that were fussing about it and complaining about it, and they said it took the driving out of the car, that a wing makes the car easier to drive, and it takes the talent. It doesn't take as much of a talent. Now, I'm trust me, I've driven a sprint car, but not as competitively like these guys do it. But I think there's more to it. If you watch a guy drive a sprint car without a wing, he works a lot harder than he does with one with a wing. And
right.
And it's I'm all for it. Now, what they will also tell you is that some of the guys that argue on behalf of the wing say that if you get one upside down, the hitting on the wing is a whole lot better than hitting on the roll cage. It's a lot softer.
Yeah, man.
Well, Damian Gardner can tell you all about that. He got caught up. He jumped the cushion and got his right rear into the fence in turn three, and he ended up on his lid. And boy, oh boy, I tell you what, it was. When they don't have that wing to absorb some of the impact, them things really get up in the air, and he took a wild, nasty. Still out there. I believe it was lap 3 or 4. So his night was done, but Boy, he was really putting on a show before that happened. That kid, I know he was the winner of the Chili Bowl, but that kid can sure wheel a sprint car.
Yeah, we had Damien on the show here after the Chili Bowl.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and he's not a kid.
Well, no, he's not a kid, but
he's well known in the West Coast.
Yeah, he did an awesome job. And hey, guys, I didn't catch the Knoxville National thing here. My wife didn't turn the DVR on, so I didn't get a chance to watch it. We received some phone calls on Sunday morning. They made a big deal, I guess, of Jack coming from 11th to 7th. But in case nobody knows, Terry McCarl lost the right rear tire in the A main on Thursday night, qualifying night. Finished 20th.
Another one eludes him.
Yeah, had to come through the B main to get in the show. He drove from 6th to 3rd in the B main, made the show, started 23rd, and drove that thing to 8th. I got held up a little bit behind Mr. Sprint Car Wayne Johnson, and maybe could have got a couple more cars. But, hey, 23rd to 8th, Mr. McCarl was extremely happy with that. Just a long week for the McCarl bunch out there. I'm here to tell you it was a little disheartening, you know. And then in the B scramble on Friday night, the car jumped out of gear in turn one. And just a bad night Thursday night overall with you know, my ties to Terry McCarl Racing and the deal with Jeff Shepherd. That was a bad deal with Jeff Shepherd, I just checked it a few minutes ago. He's still in serious condition. Tonight's the 72-hour mark. His family should know more tomorrow.
Lenny, for those that don't know what happened to Jeff, take us through that real quick.
They took the green flag for the B-Main on Thursday night. Jeff was on the inside. I believe he started third, so he was inside second row. And for those that don't know the Knoxville racetrack, they build the berm up on the inside pretty steep. Well, everybody that's trying to run the bottom will try to get as close to that berm as they can. And it just looked as though maybe Jeff was trying to get down there and he may have got too close to it, but when he started to, move back across the racetrack, of course, somebody had filled the hole and in sprint car racing, you know what happens when the wheels touch, and away it went. And, you know, he got hit in the right side of the car as the car started to turn over, and it's just a bad deal. Actually, when the car stopped, I believe his car stopped upside down. We couldn't see it, for the fence at Knoxville's probably 15 feet high, and we couldn't see it. We were trying to look through the flaps, but it did take him about 45 minutes, I guess, to cut him out of the race car. Knoxville did something that I didn't agree with. Not sure how everybody else felt about it. But after Jeff had been sitting on the racetrack and the paramedics came out and the safety officials all came out, a car pulled down the front straightaway and went to the crash scene, and two people got out of the back seat of that car. Those people were his mom and dad. At this point, I don't think they still knew the condition, Jeff's condition, as far as, you know, is he okay? Is everything going to be okay here?
But you know what, Lenny? That wouldn't matter. That's his parents. And I got news for you. My wife, you know, we've often talked about this with my son in the sports that he's played. She'd be there as well. But
I know. It just, you know, they had the crew standing out on the racetrack, and there was an official that would walk up to the car, see how it was going. He would come back, report to the crew.
Okay.
But to see his mom standing there on that racetrack, watching them extricate her son from that race car, was something that, you know, kept a lot of us in the stands not knowing.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and we didn't get a whole lot of information from the racetrack until they pulled him out.
Is it a head injury, Lenny?
Yes, he does have a head injury. The only thing that we were told on Saturday night is that his brain was bruised and that they would update his condition as they got it. That's the only information we got from Knoxville Raceway.
Jeff Shepherd, a sprint car winner at Volusia Speedway Park during the Dirt Car Nationals.
Stowed his first checkered flag down on his first ever World of Outlaws.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good, nice guy. Also, I want to throw something in there.
Up against the clock, Lenny. Come on.
Okay, the 59 car. I guess he's All-Stars. He's run with the Outlaws. Car was built, I believe, in Jupiter, Florida. Kenny Jacobs was injured in that car a couple weeks ago. Lee Jacobs drove that thing from the back of the B main on Saturday night, was leading, or the C main, I'm sorry, was leading the C main when the motor went south off of turn four. Just good to see that that Florida car was running so well at Knoxville.
No doubt.
So anyway, just a little update from Knoxville there. And,
it was excellent, man.
Sure.
Thanks.
Hated to get on the airplane this morning and come home. Got 365 days, but looking forward to my trip to Charlotte here the end of October, beginning
World
of
finals.
November.
Yep. World Finals. Lenny, thanks for checking in, man. Really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. All right. We'll talk to y'all later.
All right. See you.
All righty.
All the way from Gainesville comes Lenny.
You know,
He's over there talking about he didn't get to see it on TV. What did he see it on TV? He was sitting in the grandstand watching it live.
No, he was in the pits probably on T-Max Hauler.
Yeah, that's where he always
stands. You know what he said about the the way that they brought Jeff Shepherd's parents down there? I don't know. I think it's one thing if they just come running out, but if they get brought down there by somebody within the track official environment in a car.
That looks bad.
But you don't know if they were asked to go or they wanted to go.
Okay, well, hold on. I think they probably wanted to go, as any instinct of any parent would be. And I don't think that you can disagree, and neither do I think that you can really prohibit them from being out.
I
think you got to let them be out there, and if they're, you can't let them be a distraction to what's going on. Somebody has to be in charge of maintaining order there, and it sounded like it was orderly. But you can't. I don't think you can refuse them access.
Never being at the racetrack. I mean, what if you took them down the back straightaway instead of the front straightaway? I mean, that's where everybody gets worried when you see the parents drive down the front straightaway.
No, I think somebody brought them out. That had to come from the track. There's no chance.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying that they were in the pit area. They could have very well went down. I don't know how they do it if they could have went down the back straightaway. But let's face it, we're sitting in the grandstand and we see this guy's parents going down there in a car. We think the worst. And I think that's what Lenny was trying to say.
Well, maybe.
I agree with you guys that they should be able to go, but you see where I'm coming from here?
From a fan standpoint, the grandstand is like, wow, there's his parents.
Okay, but ultimately,
something must be terribly wrong.
Ultimately, in a case of priority, with all, the fans are not the number one priority.
Right. When it comes to that.
It's family. That's number one priority.
Of course,
and so I think they just have to.
Jeff Shepard's just a great guy, man. I just hope he's going to be all right. I mean, these brain injuries, though, the swelling, they're never good.
We've seen it so many times, and we witnessed it this year at Dirt Car Nationals when Earl Pearson flipped over. When you're standing on the flag stand and your phone, the red flag's out, and you get 8 voicemails saying, is Earl okay? Because it travels fast when they start calling other racetracks and things.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. If you're sitting in the grandstand and you see his folks go out, what if Lenny picked up the phone and called and said, hey, his parents just came out. Something's got to be really wrong.
And then that gets translated into,
that's all I'm saying.
Everybody's going to, it's going to be difficult to control what people are going to say.
Right.
But I think ultimately back to if protocol would be that his parents are priority.
I agree they should be on the side. I was just thinking maybe there was a different way. But
it's good. There's a possibility he could have done a different way.
They're
right.
Definitely.
More importantly, the number one priority is that he gets well.
Hey,
we send our prayers.
We haven't heard from Gene.
No, we haven't.
In
2 weeks. Of getting well. I hope Gene is all right. And Gene, if you're listening, we're certainly thinking about you. And, you don't have to call. We certainly understand, but we're with you. Also, a driver at Volusia Speedway Park, Tom Parker. Billy, Tom, old Tom. I mean, the guy gets out there, drives a 4-cylinder out of DeLand, Florida, had some heart problems a couple weeks ago. He was admitted into Halifax, and we mentioned him at the racetrack, but just want to give a little shout-out to Tom, and hopefully he's recovered. Tom has spent more time on the roof of that car than on all fours. Billy he'll agree with that.
You know, you're talking about Ed, and when we're talking about last week, I think it was Tuesday night or Wednesday night, another racer, Ray Hunter, his brother Jai, who drove a little bit last year, was in a motorcycle crash in the land, and last I heard he wasn't doing too good. But I got a call today from Curtis Lowell, who owned the 36 Bennett, Steve Bennett mini stock.
Yep.
He's actually in Maryland in a hospital. He's got bone marrow problems. And
Kurt does?
He called me today and just let me know he's doing okay. So I know he's probably not listening, but everybody else is just want to know that Curtis is doing good, and they're going to do some tests on him and try to do some experiments with him and try to help get him through his bone marrow.
Kurt's cuts. Got him a lawn service.
Yes, sir.
you talked about Halifax, and I so many things, and particularly, you look at what happened at Watkins Glen this weekend and talking about the Jeff Shepherd accident and so many of these accidents that occur. Yeah, I was in one time at New Smyrna, and you know, the hospitals around racetracks are really unique in how they deal with this kind, these kinds of injuries.
Being prepared for those injuries.
They are an amazing group of people, and I think it's really, you know, we all benefit from the caliber of the medical personnel around our area. You know, I went one time. It was an accident during Speed Weeks, Billy, and I mean, golly, we talk about destroying a race car.
Right.
I mean, there wasn't nothing left of it, including the steering wheel.
And it was a bad wreck.
It was a bad wreck. And what I remember, I mean, and I don't remember everything, but what I do remember is when we got to the hospital, I remember getting there. I don't remember the travel to the hospital, but once we're there and came just where you get, I guess, kind of like the admitting area, it was masses amounts of people in all, like, it was almost like a synchronized swimming or something. They all knew what they had to do. They all had a job to do, and they all did it. It seemed like there were, you know, it seemed like there was 20 people. I think there was 8 people, believe it or not, all doing something, and it all, and somehow it didn't manage to get you scared. I was never scared.
Right.
But it was pretty impressive how well they did their job. And, you know, I don't think, I never really had anything ultimately that was life-threatening. I was knocked a little cuckoo, and that carries over to today. But
yeah, you're still cuckoo.
Still cuckoo, but...
Well, you had to know this hospital's good. I mean, you had...
Oh, man.
I mean, look...
Hey, it was in Days of Thunder.
I was going to say, it's Tom Cruise, and Rowdy in Days of Thunder.
That's right.
But it is. It's really incredible, and it's important that when you have a when you're in a racing community, that you've got a hospital and medical facilities and medical personnel that understand the unique situations that occur to people who drive race cars.
I would love a nurse like that to take care of me, for sure.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I'm here trying to give kudos to the Halifax Hospital.
Indeed.
You're just over there, you know, making fun and caring. I'm going to start throwing stuff at you. You're going to get to go visit them.
I'm taking this guy out once and for all. I'm sick of him. Going to the outside.
Okay. Would you take your caller?
Hey, this caller knows all about taking him on the inside and outside. He is, of course, Florida's own prodigal son, checking in with us from the Hoosier State, originally from Okeechobee, Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Mr. Showtime, Patrick Shelter. Patrick, what's happening, buddy?
Oh, not much. How y'all doing tonight?
Good, man. I mean, ARCA's been good. I mean, you have really put both feet in this deal. I mean, you're just doing everything you have to do, but I got to tell you, we miss you on the dirt, man.
I know. I miss the dirt a lot. You know, it took a lot away from me this year, going 100% on this asphalt deal. But, I mean, it's for the better, you know. It's the step I have to take, so... But I still got all my dirt stuff and all, and we're going to probably hit a few races this weekend and head to Springfield for the ARCA race.
So you're not racing dirt just a little bit here and there. You mainly focus on the ARCA deal, and I think when I talked to you this afternoon, you said you were 10th in points in that deal, so that's not too bad.
Not bad at all.
Talking to you last week, we were talking about you guys were looking for a couple of chassis maybe to do a little Busch Grand National racing at the end of the year, or nationwide racing at the end of the year. So, you know, you're like you talked about, you're going in the right direction here, and asphalt's where you feel you need to be. And, you know, talk about what you got going on there.
Yeah, I mean, we still hit a couple dirt races every now and then. I think we've only hit about 20 this year. Well, usually by this time, you know, we've hit 60 or 70.
Did you hit any of the summer nationals up there this year, Patrick?
Yeah, we hit, I think we only hit 1 week worth of them. And we pulled out because we had an ARCA race to go to and stuff. But,
all right.
I mean, I'm still, you know, keeping on my P's and Q's and all the dirt stuff. But mainly my focus is 100% on all my asphalt stuff here.
Grab a copy, you know, grab a copy, Patrick, of this month's Dirt Late model on page number 25. Great shot of you working the outside of Tyler Boggs, man. A good shot of you in the dirt car.
Yeah, I've seen that. I went home last night and drove back up here this morning. I've seen it there. My mom had it laying on the counter. So
okay, cool.
I got to read up on that a little bit there. And it was kind of nice, you know, to have a picture of still us on the dirt there. But talking about the Busch stuff, we're looking for a couple chassis. We're going to try to hit 3 or 4 races after the ARCA season's over with and see how we can do in that deal. And probably next year, you know, hit probably 10 or 12 of them, you know, just to get our feet wet in it and go from there.
You know, we was talking about, we know you grew up on the dirt and watching you. And, you know, last year you picked up a big win in the World of Outlaws. And I know it's something that you've been wanting to do for a long time, but... And I think the Monday after it was over, the Tuesday one after you done it, I called up and said congratulations, and man, you were excited about it. And man, what did that feel like?
I mean, it's unbelievable, you know. I mean, you got guys that do that for a living, you know. They travel for a living. I mean, they're at every different racetrack, and to go there with that kind of competition and all that, and I'm not that well experienced on dirt anymore, and to go there and pull that off, I mean, it's a big thing for me, you know. I mean, for anybody really to win a World Outlaw race, it's huge. I mean, you don't hear somebody that don't run that thing full time just go in there and win a race.
People don't understand that winning a World of Outlaw show or winning a Lucas Oil show is like winning a Nextel Cup show or a Nationwide show. People don't understand that, especially when it comes to dirt. But they don't understand, too, that when you get there, this ain't your typical 30-car field. These classes and these World of Outlaws and these Lucas shows are up to 60, 70, 80, sometimes over 100, and even sometimes over 200 cars. So to outrun those guys and to do it with the fashion that you've done, I know it's been a year or so, but, you know, we talked about it before. We talked about it a lot, you know, growing up and stuff, about what it would feel like to win one of them big shows, you know, and for you to win it, I mean, it had to be something special. But, you know, talk about the transition from the dirt. I know you said you've only run a few dirt races this year because you're kind of sticking to the asphalt deal. Talk about the transition from the two. Is it tough, or, I mean, what's it like?
I mean, well, you just got to have a feel for both of the race cars. I mean, you know, you can jump in a dirt car, you're sideways, you know, 99% of the time. You're on three wheels. I mean, you just got to go crazy. I mean, you go crazy in the car, you know. You just got to, everything's all out. In asphalt, you know, it's all about consistent, hitting your marks, being smooth.
Saving tires.
Yeah, saving your tires, saving fuel. I mean, it's just a bunch of strategy you got to use that you don't have to use on dirt.
Right.
So that was a big thing that I had to switch over from, you know. Running a 30-lap feature, you don't think about your tires. You don't think about fuel. You don't think about pit stops or nothing like that. And going back into the asphalt, you know, you got to think about all that. When we're going to pit, what are we going to do to the car? But that, or dirt, you can't do none of that. You know, you can't say, well, all right, I'm going to go out here and run 10 laps. We're going to pull in the pits and, you know, change the car if it's bad. I mean, you got to have everything ready to go as soon as you roll on the racetrack.
Right.
Patrick, what is your ultimate aspiration? I mean, obviously, you're on the career track with one of the last true feeder series into the NASCAR ranks with the ARCA series, but are your aspirations to go full-blown cup racing? I mean, certainly they must be.
Yeah, they are. I mean, we just got to get good seat time and stuff and all this asphalt stuff. You know, it's only my second year doing it. I mean, we've came a long ways in these past 2 years, and to go there, I mean, you really got to be on your game, you know. I mean, here you can miss, you know, your marks a little bit and do all that. But up in the cup level, you know, you got to be, I mean, no mistakes, perfect, and just, I mean, no mistakes at all.
Always.
I mean, you got like a tenth, and you don't even make the race. So it's a big step you got to take, and, I mean, it's just a lot of learning I have to do, the team has to do. And once we do it, I mean, I think we will have the ability to go and, you know, make the races and probably run, you know, top 20 or so. But it's just going to take a little time to get everybody up to that standard, you know.
Talk about some of the people that help get you there every week.
You know, my mom and dad, you know, they back me 100%. You know, all of our sponsors, we got Floor Organics, we got Ferguson Pipe, Hardy Pipe. American Concrete. I mean, everybody just backs us from down home. You know, we do a lot of work with them.
Patrick, speaking of down home, I was down there last week coming in from the east side. I was heading west on 70 coming into your hometown, Okeechobee. And I saw Shelter and Sons Construction. Buddy, they have got that land tore up. They're building something big, but looks like business is good with the family anyway.
Yeah, actually, it was slow at the beginning of the year, and you know, it was cutthroat on the business. You know, everybody was out doing everybody, and he had all the people from up north and stuff, you know, because of the winter, and they all come down and they work, you know, and they just go in there and do jobs for nothing. And now, you know, they're all starting to come back up north now because it's warming up, and so now everybody's starting to pick up a little bit down home.
Definitely, definitely. Well, Patrick, I'll tell you what, now you are spending a lot of time in Indiana. You've got another place there, or to talk about that?
Yeah, actually, since I don't race every time, you know, all the time like I was with my dirt team, I come up here and spend a lot of time with them, you know, and just hang out with them, and we work on the cars, and if there's a race up here, you know, we'll go to it like on a Thursday or Friday or something like that, and then we'll just move on, go on to the ARCA races and stuff.
Well, we've been trying to get you on the show for probably about 3-4 months, and finally we made a connection, and we're glad we did. And you know, we hope for you to get that big win pretty soon in the ARCA Series, and we wish you the best of luck in the Nationwide, and we really want to say thanks for taking a few minutes out tonight and joining us, and wish you the best in everything, man. Give us a call if you need us, and keep your head up, and go get them at Springfield.
Yeah, man, I hope so. Yeah, we're back on our ground there, you know.
Hey, now, that's the dirt race for the ARCA deal. That's a big old...
That's a lot of fun.
Isn't that a 1 mile or a...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fairground. It's a full... Yeah, it's at the fairgrounds. It's a horse track.
Nice.
It's a full mile.
So you got it all going for you. You had a horse track. You had a dirt race. You're ready, man. This is right up your alley,
This is cool.
Yeah, I mean, my first year there with a 3,400-pound race car, and we ended up third. So we made some changes to the car and the setup and everything, and I think we can do pretty good there this year. I mean, we got everything in a row, and the guys been working their butts off there at the shop, getting everything ready to go. So we're going there with a Dodge this time. We went there with a Chevy. So.
There you go.
We'll see
talking Randy's language. Hey, real quick, Patrick, well, we got you. You're in the Dodge, obviously. It's going to be at Springfield. Is that the Charger?
Yeah, it's Dodge Charger.
Gotcha. And the big differences in these cars in the ARCA series versus, you know, all the different, I mean, looking at comparing the different manufacturers, do you feel an advantage with a particular manufacturer body style?
Well, I mean, we got all of our Dodge cars from Penske Racing. You know, I mean, they
That's
have a real good aero package on them, you know, for the mile and a half stuff. So, I mean, I think the Dodge right now in the ARCA series, besides the Toyotas, I mean, their motors are killing us in that right now. They're probably 30, 40 more horsepower than everybody else. And but, I mean, for the aero package and stuff like that, I think Dodge is probably about one of the best out there right now in the ARCA series.
Wow.
Well, we're glad you're running a Dodge this weekend, and I would love to see that Dodge win.
Yeah, I hope we can get him a big W here this weekend. I think we will be able to.
Well, like Billy said, we sure appreciate you taking your time to call us, and we wish you the best this weekend and the rest of the year. And call us again. We'd like to talk to you again.
I'd love to be back on the show with y'all.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Patrick.
Good luck, buddy. All right.
Patrick Schell for checking in.
We've got, let's take Jimmy Jeep for a couple minutes, then we're going to have to take a break. So, Jimmy Jeep, hello there. We got about 2 minutes where we got to go to a break.
Oh, well, we're getting in fast. How you guys doing?
Good, man. How's it going?
Labor Day weekend, Darlington Speedway, Vintage Oval Magazine, Oval Racing Magazine, is putting on a big 3-day show. And we'll have antique cars on the track and on display, a lot of NASCAR drivers. Superbirds are going to be a big display of them, and anything you know that's antique is going to roll, they're going to have them down there, and we're going to be down there for that.
Sounds like a neat thing.
Yeah, and then our Daytona Antique Auto Racing Group, they're going to go up to Putnam County on the 23rd. And hopefully we can help them out up there a little bit.
Hey, Jimmy, the Central Florida Sprint Car Challenge right around the corner. Talk about that. Certainly you're going to be involved with this deal. Of course, it's going to be at Ocala.
He's in Indiana, man.
Yeah, I know where he's at. I'm trying to get him back.
He ain't going
to. I'm trying to get him back.
He's going
to
be at Darlington. He just told you that Labor Day weekend.
Well, still.
We're going to work on getting trucks for it. I will miss it. The 2-day show like that is always great. And the limited sprints, they really need a good shot in the arm. They've been suffering on schedules, and I think it'll be a great show. I expect you probably have 30 cars minimum. Hey, people come out and support them. I mean, sprint cars have really been suffering there. You know, we get some great racing in February, but boy, during the year, it gets pretty limited.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. We're very excited about it. First of all, Ocala Motor Speedway on Friday, then they're going to move over to Volusia on Saturday. And $2, well, I don't know what the discount will be, but you show your Ocala ticket stub and grandstands get a discount, so we're excited.
Yeah, it'll be good. I think this weekend we're going over to Illinois for a Midwest Sprint Show. And they're non-wing sprints, unlimited motors. It gets pretty exciting with them.
Good deal. I saw a yellow Jeep out in the parking lot at Volusia the other, Saturday, and I said, oh, my God, that's Jimmy, and it wasn't.
Yeah, well, we're having a good time up here, and we'll be back. We'll be back to see you.
We miss you, man, and we thank you for calling Trackside tonight. Jimmy, we are going to go to a break, but really appreciate your call and hanging in up there, man.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Jimmy Jeep, all the way from the Hoosier State. Really glad he checked in with us. Folks, we'll be back with more, and still the driver, the number 21 in the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series, one at Volusia Saturday night, the 21 of Josh Peacock when we return.
Good afternoon, Arctic Cold Autoware. How may I help you?
Oh, good. You're still there. So many of my favorite places are closing. I've heard that my car will get better gas mileage with a properly working AC system. What kind of repairs do you do, and when can I get in for a check?
First, may I say, Ray, and I appreciate you choosing Arctic Cold Autoware as one of your favorite places. We are AC specialists and can make any service or repair necessary to your car's AC system. As usual, come anytime between 8 and 5 weekdays or half-day Saturdays during the summer season. Do you remember how to get to us?
You're on that little side road off Nova?
Yes, we're between the 6th Main Street light near the Holly Hill City Limit sign on Old Nova Road behind the canal.
I've already closed the phone book. Can you give me your phone number just in case I get lost?
It's 254-8700.
That's 254-8700. Got it. See you sometime next week.
Don't forget to look for the little white building with our name on the roof, Arctic Cold Autoware. See you when you get here. Bye.
The Mortgage Center of Volusia County is launching Operation Payment Relief. Get a safe 30-year fixed-rate mortgage with no points, no teaser rates, no prepayment penalties, and no surprises. Call the Mortgage Center now at 386-673-1800 or visit us at themtgcenter.com. Has your adjustable-rate mortgage payment gone up? Is the interest rate too high? Apply today at the Mortgage Center for an FHA loan. Great rates, no surprises. Behind on payments after your loan adjusted? No problem. Call the Mortgage Center today at 386-673-1800. If your broker has not offered you an FHA VA loan, chances are it's because they can't. Are you a veteran of the United States military? You may be eligible for a VA loan. Call the Mortgage Center today at 386-673-1800 and let us decide which plan is the best. That's 386-673-1800 or on the web at themtgcenter.com.
No one can argue that the future of business is on the web. Does your business have a website? If you do, is your site up to par? Is it professionally designed? Is it e-commerce enabled? Would a search engine find your website? In short, is your current site as effective as it could be? Introducing Zgraph, your professional website solution. Zgraph is your award-winning website designer. They've spent years in a business where others come and go every day, with major clients like Hawaiian Tropic, Grill Concepts, Amelia Island Plantation, and more. Zgraph can handle any size and function website. Let Zgraph put their expertise to work for you. Call toll-free 888-214-1212. That's 888-214-1212. Or log on to Zgraph.com now for more information. Call toll-free 888-214-1212. That's 888-214-1212. Or log on to Zgraph.com now for more information.
Call Trackside tonight at 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. And now back to Trackside tonight with Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Welcome to Trackside tonight, or welcome back to Trackside tonight. I'm Randy.
Joe Dirt.
I'm Billy Def Osborne.
and that was Mark Slow on the draw, the producer.
Oh, man.
Man, I go to break and come back, and my headphones are like wild.
Yeah.
You know, you hurt my knee when you did that. Let's get the
engineer in here. You know, when you get... You
hurt, man. Yeah, now my bad knee is the right one. It was my left one.
Hey, you look at my eyes. My pupils are dilated.
Hey, y'all can't keep me in here.
We tried, folks. We were trying to bug out on Jimmy G.
Yeah, he's in Illinois, Indiana. That's right.
He might be listening on the internet.
Yeah, well, see, that's not nice.
I had to use it.
We love you.
You had to use the bathroom. Okay, all right.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, hey, let's talk quick about NASCAR and what's going on. The silly season. First off, you know, kudos as much as it pains me to say it. Kyle Busch, 8 wins this year.
Why would that pain you, man? I mean, it was a domination.
Well,
unbelievable.
That's more wins than some Cup guys.
Kyle Petty.
Of course. No, it's not more wins than Kyle Petty.
He died in one season. My wife just slapped me.
Well, she should.
That hurt.
Okay. She'd trade you in a second.
Yeah, she would. I'd let her, too.
Hey. He tied him in.
That's just because you'd look for the support payments, Joe. Right. I know. It's all about the money, man. It's all about the money.
I tell her all the time, man. She works for that doctor. I don't care what happens. Whatever you got to do, babe.
I'm staying late tonight.
You know what? This is PG-13. Look at, wait, stuff's starting to fly in here.
That's horrible.
Anyway, quickly. What's your take? I'm reserve my comments. I'm just going to ask you the question. Here it is, Kyle Petty, you know, who is a pretty good road racer. Okay, there's no argument. In fact, he's won at the Glen, by the way.
Definitely.
Okay.
One of his eight.
Yeah. Why do you replace? More importantly than this event, what's this whole thing say? You got Chad McCombie driving the 45. You got Boris Said driving the 45. You have Terry Labonte driving the 45. What do you think it means?
Oh, it sounds like a little trouble on the home front here.
Well, I suppose that's one interpretation. Yeah. Although Kyle is
when
not.
I heard about it on Saturday. Yeah. I just assumed Kyle was up with it, or it was. But then when I found out it wasn't his idea, I was like, whoa.
Well, back to it. I mean, Kyle likes to ride. You know, likes to drive the road races,
right.
And I wouldn't be surprised if when he comes back next year, and runs a limited schedule.
Road race is probably one of them.
But I think what you got going on, ultimately, if you look at Petty Enterprises today versus a couple years ago, a lot has changed. You know, there's a complete new business approach to it. They've got a new majority partner. They've moved from Randleman, North Carolina, to Mooresville. The whole package is changing. And certainly at a point in time of Kyle Petty's life, this is probably a time when he has to be thinking about other things past racing. And I think some others are helping him think about it. And I don't mean that in terms of the pressure or the forcing. I think it's truly there are people helping Kyle Petty see his future differently than that behind a steering wheel and in a race car seat. I think he's truly beginning to grasp the concept. I don't think this is the last year you'll see Kyle Petty in a race car. I don't believe that at all. I think you'll see him back next year, but much in a very much limited role, probably to the tune of a special tribute retirement tour that will be like a victory tour, i.e. the Victory Junction Gang tour, where he'll go out at special events and raise money for Victory Junction on a very limited basis.
Sure.
And retire.
I like him on television.
And he's good.
I like his commentary.
And he's very candid.
Indeed.
And very knowledgeable, yeah, again.
It's very
and
good.
And does a great job. He's passionate about it, so I think that's all good. How about the Richard Childress deal? You know, they can't get the fourth driver over
there. Backfire.
Big backfire. Yeah. Big backfire. I'm pretty sure they felt like that Bobby Labonte A was going to go. Then I think they thought Martin Truex was going to go.
They thought Ryan Newman was going to go.
And I think they thought Ryan Newman was going to go.
Hey, they called me yesterday. I didn't answer the phone.
And now they're down to...
I didn't pick it up. It said RCR or Enterprise. I didn't pick it up.
And now
I don't know what's coming. I don't want to drive that.
Exactly.
I want to drive that 29 car. I'm put the 3 back on it.
Oh.
I hear you.
I'm just telling you guys.
I hear you. I completely understand.
I ride around him just as good as the other guy.
I'm going to tell you, I rode around better than everybody Saturday night. He's on line number one.
He wasn't riding, though. He was riding.
He sure was. And Randy, what do you talk to this young man? Driver, the number 21, the Peacock Farms effort. He also is the rookie of the year points leader. Well, he was up until Saturday night. Don't know if that changed. They were in Waycross. He was at Volusia, picked up a big win. And tonight with us on Trackside Tonight, Josh Peacock. Josh, what's happening, buddy?
Not much. How y'all doing?
Real good, man. It was a pleasure talking to you in Victory Lane Saturday night. You had your work cut out for you. I mean, the 66 was tough. 07, I don't know if you saw him kind of charging up there and soldiering through the field, but when the dust settled, my man, it was you.
Yeah, I had a pretty good run in a heat race and then started fifth in the feature, and I don't really know what was going on, but had a couple cautions. I look up, and I'm about eighth or ninth, and I said, I better start doing something. And I got up there and had a caution. I got up to about fifth. And then, I don't know, all of a sudden the car just really started working. And I passed Shane Williams for second. And I said, we got a pretty good chance here. Because he's, I've watched him all year long wear people out.
Oh, yeah.
He's pretty good.
And
he grinds it out.
Yeah, and then we had a caution there, and I was in second, and then took me a couple laps, and I passed that Bo Allen, and It just seemed like the car got faster and faster, and the track was just unbelievable fast. It was perfect.
This is about 3 weeks in a row for the racetrack.
Yeah,
you
know? I got to give ourselves a pat on the back for sure, man, on that.
Are you driving a tractor now, Joe?
No, I watch. Josh, we talked in Victory Lane. You said you weren't quite sure how this racetrack was going to develop, and you actually considered, wow, man, this might not be good at all, but it obviously turned out real good.
Yeah, we watched a little bit of wrestling there, and I guess it rained earlier in the day, and the track looked really, really rough on the front straightaway. And I was talking to a couple friends that went up the Waycross, and I was thinking, man, maybe I should have went with them. And when he graded out the racetrack, it just, you know, it looked beautiful, and we went out for the heat race, you know, and it stayed together, and it was real fast, and it never come apart. It just, you know, the whole night, it was just beautiful.
Hey,
unbelievable.
Not to take anything away from being on the racetrack, but I got a news for you, man. I'd like to see him do that wrestling every weekend.
Yeah, it was. it was pretty good.
Wasn't that cool? I saw you over there watching it. You and your dad, I think it was.
Me and my dad, a couple buddies helping us.
What you could do is it's some of those things that don't get settled on a racetrack. Just keep the ring up and let them go finish.
That's it.
Hey, I'm gonna let you guys in on a little secret. I was sitting on top of the back straightaway talking to Josh Peacock and his crew, and they said if they see Jason Davis head toward the wrestling ring, they're going to watch that.
Yeah, he said he was headed over there. He's going to vent some.
Yeah, he was going to vent a little bit before the race.
Hey, you know, Buckethead was involved. He handed Mike Enos some brass knuckles there.
Really?
Yeah, he was actually involved with that deal. Had to go back, sign releases, and the whole bit. But he handed Mike Enos brass knuckles.
Yeah.
It was great.
I figured that's what you went over there for, because Jason made his way over there. I figured he's going to check that out.
No, we just we were getting bored because it was getting hot, and it looked like it was going to be a long time to fix the racetrack. And so we went over and watched it, and it was actually pretty funny.
Josh,
really, really,
we got just a few minutes, and we got a lot of stuff we want to ask you. First of all, Rookie of the Year, points leader in the UDLMCS. They went to Waycross. You came to Volusia. We're certainly glad of that. Are you going to the asphalt down at Charlotte County next week?
No, sir, I'm not. I'm gonna skip that race, too, and just focus on, I think, Lake City, September 6th, I think it is, and we're going there, and I'm going to, you know, I'll be racing, you know, every race for the rest of the series.
Gotcha.
But I think I'm on, you know, I think we'll go down there and watch. Just take it easy.
Gotcha. Very well. Well, if you change your mind, we'd love to see you back at Volusia, no doubt.
Yes, sir.
Josh,
yes, sir.
Talk about this race car. First of all, the chassis, the engine, then your sponsors. Take this opportunity, man.
Yes, sir. It's a Warrior race car, Goddard Performance, and then you got Ziegler Racing Engines. Clay Ziegler, not only does he help me with the motor, he helps me at the track 90% of the time. He's there. And my dad, you know, he sponsors me 100%. And that's pretty much it.
That is cool, man. The Peacock Farms, number 21, the Warrior, taking it to him Saturday night from Plant City. Josh Peacock. Josh, thank you, sir.
Thank you, man.
All right, man. Good interview right there. Great young man.
And once he got going, I mean, he's a tough competitor wherever he goes. And once he got going Saturday night, I mean, he let them know that he was there.
Definitely.
So I take it that I heard you say the 07 was coming, so you're talking about Clay.
Clay was amazing, Randy. I mean, you know what this guy's all about. To see the way he was getting through there. What happened to that race car? Yeah,
I don't know what happened to Clay's car, but I know the 66 of Hartley was way out front. And he hit a clay ball and knocked the belt off of it, and that kind of slowed him down. But I don't know. I didn't talk to Clay today.
Billy, would you agree that I didn't put a clock on him? My stopwatch. Did you get any 16s?
No.
17s?
No.
All right.
Ooh. I didn't get the
really
I didn't get Clegg in the heat race, but I didn't get my stopwatch until halfway through. We took the intermission, but
18?
The fastest lap I got him was 18.1 in the feature.
Nice, race. I'll tell you right now.
That's when
low 17s in the heat.
Matt was out front. He was 18.1.
It was unreal, Randy. Yes, they were twisting them up, man.
Yeah.
Twisting them up.
Joe, what's going on at Volusia Speedway Park this weekend?
Back to school night. Bring the school supplies for a $2 discount on your grandstand admission. We've got late models back in action with, of course, the mods off. What's off?
The sportsmen are off.
Sportsmen are off. So that means we've got street stocks, we've got four cylinders, we have mini stocks, we have modifieds and late models.
And only for $8?
$8, 15 miles west of Ormond Beach on I-9, or west of Ormond on State Road 40. Ocala, though, Friday night as well.
No race in Ocala.
That's right, you're off
3 weeks.
That's right.
And, of course, we're coming back here on Monday night, next Monday night, to give you all the results from the local scene, the national scene, and some of the scene that you don't want to know about. But we'll certainly have some we'll have a little news next week.
Are you going running this week?
Well, hopefully that'll be the case. Well, he's giving us 3-2-1, so we better say goodnight,
everybody. Go Team USA.
Goodnight.